your godly life will cause them to do one of the two. And they will be either comfortable in your presence or miserable in your presence. And some of them will be miserable, but they still want what you've got. And they finally will yield to the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus. But we've got to quit acting like we don't understand what's happened. And look, my gracious, look at the Luke 6 version in verse 49. When it talks about the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon the house, it says it did beat vehemently. Vehemently. Same wording. In other words, it didn't happen any worse to them or any better. So I want you to look at the blackboard. Beloved, in this life, if you're talking about the world's goods, it won't do you one bit better to do with it and be a wise follower of God or to be a foolish man and build your house on the sand. Not if you're going by the world's goods, but I'll tell you some major differences. While the storms are beating, you can have peace of heart and peace of mind, and they can't. And you see, what Christianity really is all about is, in this life, that peace of heart and peace of mind that only God can furnish. And in the afterlife is when we really reap the biggies. You and I have got to come to the, listen, we've got to come to the point and place in our life. And until we do this, until we do what I'm about to tell you now, there's no real enjoyment out of Christianity in this life. Under the sun, there's no real enjoyment. Until we come to the point and place where the important thing in our life is, and only this, it to be content knowing I have pleased my Father. I want to tell you something, that as I please my Heavenly Father, I find I please very few people. And in worse, the people that despise me the most and gossip maliciously about me, lying about me in this city, are preachers. Not the lost ones. That's the worst part. They're the born again ones. Because I'm just not marching to their drummer. To their drum. I hear the Lord's drum beat, and it doesn't include what they're hearing. Because what they're hearing is coming from Nashville and from Springfield. And a lot of it Jesus never said. You see, from Springfield, they're going to make you think that you've got to speak in tongues or we just can't have fellowship. Now, I speak in tongues. And you don't speak in tongues? Oh, let's not even talk about it. If you ever want to talk about it, I'm willing. I'm not going to beat you over the head with it. That's what all the Pentecostals and Charismatics do. You hear what I'm saying to you? But if you want to know, well, I can sure show it to you in the Scriptures. I'd be happy to. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you since you got saved? You hadn't grown very much yet, have you? I mean, you've been saved 20 years and all you still want to talk about is tongues? Oh, grow up. Get out of diapers. Come on, I mean, people did that the first moment they got saved in the Bible. That's not the mark of a mature Christian. That's tradition. You hear what I'm trying to say to you? I mean, listen, this Bible. See, I'm trying to make you guys want to read this thing, if for no other reason is to try and come in here and prove me wrong. Because I know if you study it that hard, because you're going to have to study hard to do that on some of this stuff. I didn't say on everything, Dave, but I mean on this stuff, I know. I've studied. I've put in my dues, okay? And what does it say? The foolish man, it says, when the floods came, and beloved, observe, they do come to the foolish. See, that's your problem, my problem. We see it. We notice their life when everything goes well. And hey, they're basically dishonest people anyway. They never tell you when they lost at the stock market. They tell you when they made it. Woo! I did, and we just sit there thinking, not me. I did this and I'm losing it. This. I mean, everything they say to us, they're winning. But you see, we don't know that this guy's snorting cocaine to keep going, maybe. Or he's hitting the booze to keep going. We don't know what it is that's keeping him going. And let me tell you, the thing that kept me going in those days wasn't any of that. It was just my own. Hey, the thing that kept me going was feeding my own arrogance and ego. And it took a lot to feed it because it had no limit. I mean, it was an insatiable appetite. You know, you thought Jaws could eat, but let me tell you, mine, My ego, it knew no bounds. There was not enough praise in the world. You know, I mean, as my chest would swell with pride, I found that if you said something else wonderful, I could accept it and receive it. Look at the Luke version. The last part of verse 49, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You know, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. The wicked can look good for a long time. And see, that's where we get in trouble again. I'm going back to where we began. Let me tell you why so many of you are unhappy. You're comparing yourself to the wicked and what they've got. And they've got money, they're driving Cadillacs, and yours broke down again. And they're wearing Hickey Freemans and Oxfords. Oxford, that's the notch above Hickey. And you, well, let's put it this way. You're not going to make Harper's or Vogue as one of the 10 best dressed. But you see, the point is, there's coming a time of ruin, and there is no remedial remedy. Nothing can be done. See, what Jesus has taught us by this, my play on the word doeth, what Jesus is teaching in the two comparisons of these two builders with two foundations, what he's saying to us is, if we really believe, we will act, we will do. He said, if you hear and don't do, you're a foolish man. And there's going to be a great ruin someday because the floods, plural, are coming. And the wind will blow, and it will be a vehement blast. So what he's saying is, I want y'all to understand this. Some of you don't understand the book of James. And you actually, some of you have heard it, your preachers and teachers maybe even, and your Sunday school quarterly say, James and Paul just were teaching the opposite things. No, they weren't. I want you to see that Jesus is teaching exactly the same thing that James taught. You better believe James learned it from him, one way or the other. Either while Jesus was here, in those last days after the resurrection. No, James didn't believe in him until after the resurrection. You might remember that. Please remember that Mary must have had one of the most shattered hearts of any woman that ever walked the planet. You know, she told all her children at very young ages that Jesus was the Messiah. Of course she would. Every mother wants her child saved. Come on! And yet the Scriptures tell us in John chapter 7, they didn't believe on him. That means they all considered their mother Mary to be a liar and a fornicator. And Mary knew it. Because you understand, there is no gray. Come on now, there is no gray. Jesus is a bastard, or he is God come in the flesh with a supernatural virgin birth and a supernatural conception. It's one of the two. I mean, again, beloved, the sword has drawn a line in the sand. Choose. That's what I like about Jesus. It isn't gray. The truth is not like my coat tonight, my sport coat, gray. The truth is crystal clear, black versus white. And it should be so that even a wayfaring stranger can choose correctly. So again, if you believe, Bible believing, that is, we believe unto receiving, that means we're committing one's life, one's immortal soul to what we're to what Jesus is saying. He said, you hear my words and do my words. Well, it was Jesus that said, repent and believe the gospel. So if you really believe, what I'm trying to tell you is, there is no such thing biblically as only intellectually believing and being saved. If you really believe, you will do it. And some of us doeth more than others doeth. Some of us understand the issues more than others. Some of us have made commitment, deeper commitments than others. But I want you to see that the key to success in the story, Jesus' version of success, was you had to dig deep to find the solid foundation. And that solid foundation is none other than Jesus himself, as 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, that there is no other foundation save Jesus himself. He is the foundation. So James wasn't teaching anything new. If you've really been born again, you're going to do it. somewhere down the line, you're going to do it. I want you to know that it takes time for some of them. The examples James gave, one of them was Rahab the harlot. You might remember she said the thing that converted her was that she heard about the story about the Red Sea parting. But you see, by the time the children of Israel came and she actually hid the spies to do a work that the Bible said, now here's the work that proves she was saved. That's 40 years later. The idea is surely if you really had your life changed, one doeth in 40 years ain't bad. You know, I mean, surely you can come up with one in 40. And so the point is, if you really had a life change, after a little time, we'll see at least one that we can say, now there was a doeth. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, I don't want you getting down on yourself. I want you to see the Bible examples of faith and good works were a long time after the fact. In other words, listen, if God had gave Abraham the test concerning killing Isaac, the day he got saved, he would have failed. How do you know that, Brother Floyd? Because I read the book. What happened to him when the only test involved was whether to let someone sleep with Sarah? Come on now. Which you think would be, you know, come on. You're going to let your son, you personally are going to slay your son or let someone, if you had to choose between having your own son, between killing your own son or allowing someone to sleep with your wife, which would you probably, well, you'd let someone sleep with your wife. If you had to make a choice between the two. Now I want to tell you in here, none of you ever have to make such a choice. The point I'm getting at is, Abraham failed in the matter of Sarah. Are you ready for this? Twice. A much less test, twice. He failed in a bunch of them. God told him to leave all his family and leave Ur of the Chaldees. He left Ur of the Chaldees. He didn't leave his family. Took his daddy and his cousin with him. Or rather, his nephew with him. And this is who God said was a great man of faith. I'm trying to show you all that though we doeth, if we compare ourselves to what we think doeth means, we're going to be miserable. If we look at the Bible, we can come out pretty good. Abraham's called the great man of faith in the Bible, and he didn't doeth by what you and I would consider doething too good. But God said, nobody outdoeth him. Terrible grammar, Sister Dole, but the point is there, and I intend for you to remember doeth. Okay, now listen to me. Let's close. Verse 28 of Matthew. And it came to pass. All right, now this is the conclusion of the great Sermon on the Mount. And may I say that if you started at... some of you are tired right now because you've been with me for 2 hours now. But you see, Jesus began teaching this thing back there at Matthew chapter 5, and you better believe he went on for more than 2 hours. And I'll guarantee you there's people out there that when it says here, and it came to pass, they're thinking, thank God, it came to pass. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings. Now look, let's see it. What is the result of this sermon? What's the result on the people? It says the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? Now listen to me. I want you all to hear this. Major doctrinal point. This is the Sermon on the Mount, y'all. He didn't heal anybody. All he did this time was preach. Was teach. You got it? Oh, there's a lot of times, Janice, where he did some miraculous. Before this and after it. You hear me? But this is a day he just came and taught. It says they were astonished at his doctrine. At his doctrine. Do you see it? It was his doctrine that astonished them. His teachings. So I say that because some of us in the charismatic Pentecostal business, we get so enamored with the miraculous. And boy, when God does a miraculous thing, I'm all for it. I relish it. I enjoy it. But there's never been a greater moment in time than this one. If you were there and could have actually heard, listen, all you've done tonight is hear me teach it. I really, listen to me, and I mean this, y'all. I really feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for me. We missed it, y'all. This is one of the greatest days in all history. And all you got to hear was me tell it. You hear what I'm saying? Now, there's one thing going for you, though. The Holy Spirit is with us. And He can take my miserable abilities and minister to your needs greater than I can teach. You hear what I'm saying? So that even though we missed hearing Jesus teach it, at least you got the Holy Spirit. He astonished them at his doctrine. Why? For. There's that key word again. For. See, here's why they were astonished. For he taught not. He taught them as one having authority. That's one reason I'm hated. Some of you have been with me for years and years and years. There's some of you have been with me at least 10 and 12 years in this room. Anybody been with me 10 years? Raise your hand quickly. Yeah, Bill, I know you have. Oh, shh. My wife and daughter don't count. That's right, Bill. Bill, we've been together probably 13, haven't we? 13 years. Led him to the Lord, introduced him to the Lord. Several people were witnessing to you about that same time, but I remember as soon as you got born again, the Lord dumped you on my doorstep and said, "Now there he is. I birthed him. You teach him." Bill said he was so stubborn that he heard me for 5 months before he would give in. Okay, Bill, that encourages me because some of them in here have been under me for a while now and they hadn't gotten born again yet, and I'm getting discouraged, so I won't get discouraged. It says, "For he taught them as one having authority," listen, "as opposed to one who, in order to increase his abilities and increase his authority and increase the praise of men, is constantly, like the scribes." See, what does it mean here? What do you think he means here? He didn't teach them like the scribes. Well, see, the scribes are still around. They hadn't all died. I studied at the universities under a bunch of them. I worked with a bunch of them. See, scribes are men, and you see a lot of them when you turn on television. See, in order to make what they say seem to have authority, they quote famous people, world leaders. As Aristotle said, as the Pope said, as Billy Graham said, as so-and-so said. In other words, and also quite often, to impress you with how well-read we are. Right? As Albert Schweitzer said. Albert Schweitzer, he needed to be born again. He was a pagan. Oh, he did a lot of good works. Lord, Lord. You said, how do you know that? You're judging. No, I read his own words. He didn't believe Jesus was deity. See, his own words condemn him, not my words. I read what he said, and judged it by what God's word said. Now, if they say that, they're not born again. Oh, thank you, Lord, for making that clear. Bill, you've been with me 13 years. How many of you have been with me 8 years? Raise your hand. How about five? I got a bunch of you at five. Yeah. Have you ever noticed? You don't hear me ever read quotes. Most of you in this room have never heard me quote anybody. Anybody. Because the authority that I use are the Scriptures. I let them speak to you because I know that only these words will actually change your life and your life's destiny. I get furious driving up and down the street seeing marquees at churches with worldly wisdom on them. When I keep thinking, man, why don't they put a proverb up there or a psalm or anything but worldly wisdom? Did you ever read in Corinthians that God says that the foolishness, that the wisdom of the world is foolishness to Him, and that His wisdom was foolishness, to the world? It says that not as the scribes. And then look, and when he was come down from the mountain, here's the final result. Hey, and they didn't see a single miracle. Great multitudes followed him. So yes, in the Bible, multitudes followed him because of the signs and the wonders, but they also followed him because of the authority that his own teaching carried. They followed, watch this, great multitudes. Julie, do you see that? Multitudes means many, but yet he added that word, great multitudes. Followed tongues. Followed Brother Floyd. Followed the Catholic Church. Followed him. I want you to see it again. Christianity is a person. It's a person. The Lord Jesus and following him. And then the last verse, chapter 7, verse 1. Of Luke. And this happened right after that. Now, when he had ended all these sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. Last week we were studying in Capernaum, and I mentioned that he had moved headquarters to Capernaum ever since Matthew chapter 4, verse 13. And I wanted you to see, tie that thought in, he ended at Capernaum. Two men, both had similar goals in life. They went about to achieve those goals, and the big difference was the foundation. And the way that that good foundation was laid was, he heard the words of God and did them. He doeth them. He made it a part of his life. He was willing to let God bring those things over and over to him, Tony. And as he brought them to him, he committed to do them. Beloved, I challenge you all. In your own power, you cannot doeth it. If you try it in willpower and self-determination, you will always fail. Christianity is not a test of your willpower. We know what your willpower and my willpower has gotten us into all our lives. I won't, I won't, I won't. Well, I won't. Well, no. Well, not often. We must never do this again. Right? See, that's what willpower does. Willpower cannot defeat the devil, cannot defeat temptation, cannot build a solid rock. The only thing it can do is, what God wants is us, is to surrender that will to Him and trust Him to furnish the foundation. Our part is to be willing to do it. The Holy Spirit's part is to, oh, if you're willing, I'll do it for you, through you and in you. Christianity is so easy, nobody will try it. You hear what I'm trying to say to you? God has put the Holy Spirit in us that He can do for us all His own demands. God never demanded that we doeth it. We're willing. It looks like we're doeth in it. Because as we're walking in the Spirit, it looks like we are doeth in it. But He's doeth in it through us, for us, with us. Because that's the plan. Would you stand? God bless you guys. There are commitments that need to be made tonight. Lost people that need to commit to get the sure foundation, to commit your life to the Lord Jesus. But more of you in here are already born again. And some of you are having a miserable trip. And I've tried to share with you tonight why. The storms are coming, son. And it's plural, and you're never going to get on top of all of them. It comes with the territory. Under the sun, whether you're going to walk with God or not, you're going to have storms. Winds are going to blow, and it's going to be vehement. And by the way, you're saved or lost. The same things happen to both of you for different reasons and different purposes in God's wisdom. Some of us thought, I'd never get mad at God. I'm faithful to God. And then it all fell apart. See, we were like Peter. Though all deny you, though all men fail you, I will never fail. Now, don't get too down on Peter. If you read the Matthew version, it says, all the apostles said the same thing right after him. Hey, even John. You hear it? All of them said the same thing. No, not us, Jesus. We won't let you down. You can count on us. He did. He counted on them all right. When he was nailed to the cross, they were way off on a hill looking down. He could count them. 1, 2, 3. Okay. There's been some heavy things tonight. Commit yourselves. Don't just be a hearer. Be a doer. Doing means we surrender to Him. And just watch what He can do with you. If you're trying to impress Him or me with what you can do with yourself, I don't want to watch. Because when the storm comes, you'll be depending on you instead of on Him. And that's a lousy foundation. Let's pray. That's enough. I'll start a whole new message if I'm not careful. Father, thank You for loving us enough to pen these words. Lord Jesus, thank You for both telling it and doing it. Thank You tonight that You're still doing these words in us, through us, and for us as we, moment by moment, are depending on You to lead us. Father, you know we have a problem. Many of us in this room tonight, we're like a stubborn horse. We understand that master horsemen, while they just barely make the horse move by just barely applying the slightest pressure with their legs to one side or the other, or the slightest pressure to the bridle, one side or the other, and the horse does his bidding. Lord, you know my heart. You know there's times you've had to yank that bridle almost out of my teeth. Father, make us all to be willing to be gently led, that we may be pleasing to you, and that it may go well with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you all.